This is WCOOK coming to you live from Atlanta, GA. You are now tuned in to The Lioness Den with your host, Chinwe. And it's all brought to you by locally grown Black Girl Magic. Welcome to The Lioness Den. Welcome to The Lioness Den. We got Weezy on the mic and we might have a guest or two. Never know what she might do, but she always keeps it cool. Welcome to The Lioness Den. Welcome to The Lioness Den. Just a young black woman trying to make a difference. Sit and listen. Now let the show begin.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to episode 16 of The Lioness Den. I am your hostess with the mostest, Chinwe, aka Chin Weezy. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at ChinWeezy underscore. Now, I'm so glad that last week is over with. A lot of horrific things were happening in our great nation. So this week is going to be a little bit more chill. Going to talk about some celebrities. Floyd Mayweather, you know, he's got a big fight coming. Season, turn the F up. I've been waiting all year for September. I'm super duper excited. I want to acknowledge some amazing Virgos, Beyonce, Michael Jackson. The list goes on and on. You're welcome, world, for our awesomeness. That's all I can say about that. But without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into episode 16 of The Lioness Den.
The Lioness Den is brought to you by CMC Productions, LLC, the only production company you need to be worried about. And if you would like more information on that production company, you can head on over to www.chinweezy.com.
If you've been paying attention, you know that Conor McGregor opened his big fat mouth a couple of years ago and challenged Floyd Mayweather to come out of his retirement to fight him. He said that he could beat him. Floyd Mayweather is 49-0 with 26 knockouts. And Conor McGregor isn't even a boxer. He's this dude from Ireland. He's an MMA fighter. He's 21-2, something like that. He ain't undefeated, is the point. And he challenged Floyd, saying that basically he could beat him up. Now, we all know it's money, team, or die, right? So anyway, I read this really interesting article about the fight, which is this Saturday. It finally came into fruition after all this back and forth. They're finally going to do it this Saturday on Showtime at 9 p.m. If I get some details on where we could, I don't know who the plug is. If you the plug for watching the game, for watching the match, just go ahead and hit a sister up at ChinWeezy underscore on Twitter or Instagram and let me know what y'all doing so we can all watch the fight and be black together. So anyway, I read this really interesting article about race and boxing. And basically, Floyd Mayweather says that Conor McGregor is just as arrogant, just as outlandishly spoken. You know, Floyd gets in a lot of trouble for talking a lot of smack. But he says that Conor McGregor does the same thing and he's praised for it while Mayweather is chastised. And he believes that has a lot to do with the fact that Conor McGregor is white and Floyd Mayweather is black. Now, in the article, which I got from the New York Times, they threw in there that, yes, Conor McGregor is just as inciting when it comes to the things that he says. He hasn't been in any legal trouble where Floyd has been to jail and has been in, had issues with domestic violence. But, I mean, that still doesn't have anything to do with the fact that at a promotional event, Conor McGregor was humping the air, talking about he had a little present for my beautiful black female fans. He also told Floyd, "I can't wait to make you dance, boy. I can't wait to make you dance, boy. I can't wait to make you dance, boy." I had to say it multiple times just in case anybody didn't catch that, because you know what that's referencing. Jigaboo, dancing, if you're not sure. So he says some pretty racy things, and he insists that he's not racist and he feels some type of way, blah, blah, blah. If anybody would think that he would even bring that type of energy to the match. But you can't say things like, "I'm gonna make you dance, boy," and not expect any type of backlash. I don't know how y'all do it in Ireland, but in America, there are things you don't say to black people if you're white. Okay? Anyway, There was also a recent interview with Don King, and he said that ultimately it boils down to race. He said that boxing has always inadvertently reflected the society, the times that we live in, whether it be immigration, race, et cetera, et cetera. And he said that when he was promoting the fight between Larry Holmes and Jerry Cooney, he basically tapped into what was already embedded in American society. He says, I was just bringing out the racism that was already there by making people choose sides. And I mean, of course, the guy beat the white guy, but I mean, this is just something that's inevitable. And I mean, it's smart to play on the heartstrings of your own people. However, Floyd feels like there is a double standard when it comes to him being crazy and loud, and when Conor gets to be crazy and loud. And he said that even the fact that he's not even a professional boxer, and this guy, Conor, has never boxed before in his life. He's an MMA fighter. But in his first match, he has the opportunity to get 9 figures. Unheard of, and he said it's only possible because he's a white man. So in light of the fight, I saw that article, and I just thought it was really interesting to have that take on it. And, you know, if someone like Floyd, who's been very successful in promoting and managing his own fights, I think that he brings a lot of validity to the table when he's comparing, you know, how this whole thing is playing out. So I can't wait to see Floyd beat up Conor McGregor. And once again, if you're the plug, please hit assist up so we can watch the fight. Moving on, I'm going to talk about another type of white privilege, because, I mean, essentially that whole Conor McGregor thing is basically Floyd was talking about white privilege in boxing. So now I want to talk about Amy Schumer. You may have heard about this. She reportedly asked Netflix for more money after she learned that Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock earn significantly higher amounts for their Netflix comedy specials. Now, just to be clear, she got $11 million for her recent special, which is a lot of money. Yo, Netflix is bringing in the bank. Blockbuster really missed out on that opportunity. Anyway, she got $11 million. While Dave Chappelle received $20 million per his specials. So he did 3 specials, so he got $60 million. And Chris Rock also got $20 million per special, and he did 2 specials, so he got $40 million. People on Twitter were not impressed by the fact that she was asking for more money. They said, how dare you? They've been in the game decades longer than you have. And here comes this white girl crying. You know how it is when the white girl goes to the manager and starts crying about how unfair something is. Basically because she didn't get her way, or she found out that someone else was making more than her. And they said that that's just disrespectful because you haven't earned their spot. She wrote on Instagram, thanks for chiming in on what you feel I deserve to be paid. I believe women deserve equal pay. However, I don't believe I deserve equal pay to Chris and Dave. They are legends and 2 of the greatest comics of all time. I would like to say that I have been selling out arenas these last couple years, something a female comic has never done. I didn't ask for the same as my friends. I did ask for more than the initial offer. The reports of me demanding or insisting on equal pay is not true. I would like to add that Netflix did grant her wish. It wasn't released how much they did give her more, but she did get her way in the end. The whole point of that is the nerve of you to just want more because you see somebody else getting more, even though they worked harder and earned it over a longer course of time. Second, I mean, this just proves that, I mean, white women get whatever they want. I might be reaching in the dark with this one, but I'm telling you, I've seen it happen over and over again where these women, they cry. It just happened with Betty Shelby and Terrence Crutcher. She feared for her life, even though this man had her arms up, and she was acquitted of the charges of point blank murder. So white privilege is all around us. Maybe Amy Schumer is funny. I haven't seen any of her stand-up. I don't care to see any of her stand-ups. But I just think, you know, I just think it's funny how she could legit ask for more money because some veterans were offered more money. That's all I'm saying. Following more white privilege, I mean, I think every episode should just be named White Privilege. I'm not white bashing people. This is just the world that we live in, and it just happens to be the news that's, you know, circulating. So anyway, secret agents, secret service, I keep calling them secret agents. Did you know, before I get into that, that if you type in special agents on Google, Perry the Platypus comes up? I love it. Okay, so anyway, Secret Service agents are reportedly out of money, or they will be out of money by the end of September at the rate of the president. The president, you know, he takes all these trips and vacations. He's taking so many trips to Florida and all these other places. They had to watch Melania and Barron at the Trump Towers for the first 5 months. And it's causing a lot of extra money. And they don't have the money to pay people their salaries or their overtime. So the Secret Service has to go to Homeland Security and Congress to get some legislation changed to find this money. This is taxpayers' money, by the way. And Trump was just in Arizona talking about, oh, I'm going to fix the taxes. They're too high. You are taking all of these trips, making us pay all this money for your outlandish vacations. You're not helping. You're creating the issues that we see today. So anywho, you know, Secret Service has to watch all of his children and their husbands and wives and their children. So it's 18 people in his personal family, not to mention his staff and all this stuff. So they're asking for $60 million to cover the next year. Now, in comparison, the Secret Service paid about $97 million to their employees to protect Obama over all 8 years. They said the last year was more expensive, but you have to keep in mind they had to watch out for Hillary and her people, 45 and his people, as well as President Obama. So that's a little bit skewed. So again, $97 million over 8 years to protect Obama. This includes his visits to see, other people in the world that are important. I can't think of the word, you know, prime ministers and people like that, as well as his trips to Martha's Vineyard in Hawaii, where he's from. But not, you know, these just elaborate, over-the-top, unnecessary, uncalled for, frequent vacations and carrying on. But they're asking for $60 million for the next year. And at the end of September, they won't have any more money. So I'm curious to see where they're going to get this money from. Is this story just going to get swept under the rug? Where is this money going to come from? That's a lot of money to protect someone who's not even just barely doing his job. So pay attention out there to what's going on. And you know, with this whole money thing, they're spending all this money on this war that they're creating and everything else. But there are some fundamentals like Secret Service that, you know, is necessary for the president, whether we like him or not. It is necessary. And the fact that they don't have any money for the things that are necessary is kind of scary. And it really makes you look twice at where they're going to be pulling these funds from to support his habits. So just keep that in mind as time goes on and, you know, the Civil War starts and stuff. Onward, or backward in this case. Speaking of 45, let's talk about one of his pawns, Omarosa, and Janet Aunt Viv Hubert. Y'all know Aunt Viv, the real Aunt Viv from Fresh Prince. She read Omarosa for her filth on Facebook, allegedly. They don't know if this is her really posting this or not, but I'm going to say this is her because she has been known to say some stuff in the past. So, you know, Omarosa showed her tale at a recent National Association of Black Journalists meeting in New Orleans. And she got into it with one of the journalists, Ed Gordon, when they were talking about police brutality. And she was like skating around the topic and she brought up her brother and her father and them dying. But she wouldn't really, you know, touch on the subject. She basically for the defending 45, and black people don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear you defend 45 when you're a black person. It does not make sense. So anyway, Aunt Viv got on Facebook and said, quote, "Niggerosa, honey child, you need to put your black card in the shredder. Tighten that white woman dead hair weave on your head and sit your dumb ass down before someone knocks you down. Your 15 minutes are up. You are Trump's suppository. You never represent us and you never did. The orange Twitter bitch is using you, fool. You are his black pawn. You will go down with him. Why do we bother even asking you to appear anywhere? Shaking my damn head. That's me giving Aunt Viv three snaps because she read Omarosa her rights. And she's right. Why would the NABJ invite Omarosa to an event for black journalists? Why would you invite anyone a part of 45's people to anything that has to do with journalism and the media when he's denounced media throughout his entire campaign and throughout his entire stay in the White House? Like, they said it was supposed to be a surprise and it got leaked. But why would you even invite her? Whose idea was that? If it was your idea, raise your hand and just go ahead and volunteer to quit. And then whoever approved the idea, y'all can go ahead and quit too. Why would you invite her to a place where there's going to be black people? She's not black for real. So why would you invite her? That don't make no sense. But I'm glad that Aunt Viv says something. And it makes me want to talk about something that I witnessed today. Now, I was in a certain government building, which shall remain nameless, and the line was really, really long. And there were two security guards. There was a woman, and then there was an older male, about 60 years old, 60-ish, somewhere in there. And one woman walked in, and she said, "Do I have to stand in line? I just need to change my address." He said, "Yeah, everybody got to stand in line." She said, "Even if I just need to get on the computer and change my address?" He said, "Yeah, everybody got to stand in line." So the other woman who was with her, she was blind. She said, "Come on, Kim, just get in line. It's all right." The man says, "Oh, you with her? Y'all can go ahead and go back there." Cool. There was this other elderly woman who said, "Can you show me where to do something, something, something?" I didn't hear her. He said, "It's the second door on the right." She said, "Can you show me where it is?" "All you got to do is walk around the corner." That's what he said. Now, all of these women went back to wherever he told them to go. I guess the other security guard told them, "No, y'all can't come back here without standing in line." So they say, "Well, the man said we could come back here." This Negro gonna say, "I ain't say that. Why? I ain't say that. Who said that? I ain't say that. I ain't tell y'all could go back there." He most definitely did, because everybody in the place heard him. Now, one woman in line said, "If you don't want to be here, you need to find another job. It's too early in the morning for your attitude." And then the other woman says, "Mm-hmm." And then the woman says again, "You just disrespectful and nasty. You don't speak to no elderly and disabled people like that. If you don't want to be here, you need to go on somewhere." And y'all, like, I couldn't have been more proud, because like Aunt Viv, sometimes you have to call out nasty people, and whether they're black, white, whatever, but especially our own people. And I mean, Omarosa ain't necessarily black, but she is one of us at the end of the day. And I was just happy that they called him out, because he was being nasty to his own people, to people who were elderly and disabled. Like, why would you? And then he lied on them and said, "No, I didn't say that." Why would they just walk back there if you didn't tell them they could do it? So I just am proud that we're able to call each other out, and hopefully he won't treat anyone else like he did today, because he'll remember that that's unacceptable. And that's something that I was talking to my dad about why I wanted to be in, why I'm in grad school and why I'm studying African-American studies in particular, is because of that whole community aspect of African culture that we've lost with our time here in America. But that really, really, really gave me hope. Like, the community is still there. The Africanness is still there. And we still care about each other. And we don't want to see anyone disrespected or hurt in the grand scheme of things, especially our elders. When the man said, "It's just around the corner," this other girl looked at him and said, "Ma'am, you can come with me. I'll walk you back there." And that made me smile too, because she saw that he was being rude and she offered to help, because how would you feel if somebody was talking to your grandmother like that? You wouldn't like that. But that's all. I mean, it just really warmed my heart to see that. And nobody is above being checked in the Black community. And I think that that's very important. And that's something that we should continue to do. Now, somebody else who could use some checking is R. Damn Kelly. What the hell is wrong with Robert Kelly? Can y'all tell me what the hell is wrong with Robert Kelly? What is wrong? I can't, like, how many times, what is wrong? What is the problem? So this other girl, Geronda Pace, has come out saying that allegedly he was one of the girls that he was sleeping with when she was 16 years of age. She waited outside of his courtroom in Chicago during that whole trial with the child pornography thing, and they had a relationship for a few years. Now, last month, R. Kelly was in the news because he allegedly has a cult in his home of 6 women who are living there. Now, they're all over the age of 18, but they can't go anywhere. They can't do anything. One of the girls, her parents were on the Ed Lover show this morning here in Atlanta talking about how they haven't spoken to their daughter since December of 2016. She up and left her dorm room and she didn't say anything about it. She didn't attend her grandfather's funeral, which was very hurtful to them. And they said that even though she put out a video saying that she's okay, they don't believe it. They believe she's being coerced and tricked into saying that. But anyway, R. Kelly needs to get his ish together. It's not coincidental that all these stories are coming out. It is coincidental how he's been acquitted of all charges. He married Aaliyah when she was 15. He then went to court and settled out of court with a woman named Tiffany Hawkins, who claims she started sexual relations with him when she was 15. There was another suit brought against him in 2001 by a former Epic Records intern named Tracy Sampson, who says she had sexual relations with him when she was 17. And then in 2002, you know, the whole child pornography thing, where basically he was alleged of having sex with a minor, recording it, peeing on her, all of that stuff. And he was acquitted. He was up there for 21 counts of child pornography. He was acquitted of all charges. So I don't know if R. Kelly is in the Illuminati, or I don't know how he keeps getting away with this stuff, but something has got to give. And there's something very eerie about the fact that these stories keep following him and they keep reappearing. And I don't think it's coincidental. And it's gotten to the point where my dad, if we're at a party or somewhere, or if R. Kelly comes on, he'll up and leave the function because he's like, I don't support other people supporting him. By playing his music, you are supporting him, which is true. And he has a concert tonight in Atlanta, and they're protesting it, and they've written and tried to get Wolf Creek Park to cancel it, and they have not canceled it. But please do not go, guys. Like, you can't support this. This is terrible. Whether or not it's true, this is crazy. How many times does this have to happen? I mean, it's a fact that he married Aaliyah. So if none of this other stuff has been proven, that is a fact. I hope that R. Kelly gets some help that he needs, because getting away with these things is not helping anyone, especially not him. The more you get away with it, the more arrogant you become, the more you think it's okay, the more you believe you can do whatever you want. And I just really hope that these women who are allegedly in his house and in a cult are okay, and I'm, you know, pray for them, because it's hard when someone's been in prison, but once they become in prison in their mind, there's no turning back. It takes a lot to bring them out of that situation, and I just hope that they're okay, and I hope that R. Kelly gets some help. In Jesus' name, amen. It's time for the Arty Shine of the week. And today, this week, we're going to do something a little bit different. The Arty Shine of the week goes to strippers. You know, strippers like dancers in the club. Okay, let me tell you why. Because recently, I was in the strip club.
And, you know, I was, you know, on a couple of different things or whatever. I won't talk about that. But I just, I've only been to this strip club about 4 times in my entire life. And each time the experience is very, very different. So this time I actually paid attention to everything that was going on around me. And I noticed so many different things about the women that were in there. First of all, they were all different types of women. All different types of body shapes and sizes, short, tall, thick, skinny, big chested, small chested, just all different types of women. And they just exude this confidence. And you know, it takes, you can say whatever you want to say, but it takes a lot of confidence to get up in front of people that you don't know and dance and, you know, for a living. People do this to earn money, to feed themselves, to feed their families, and they don't think twice about it, you know? So just from being there and being in this environment, it's very hectic. There's a lot going on. And there's all different types of people in there. And for these women to come in there day after day and, you know, put their whole being on the line like that to entertain others, it truly is an art, and it truly takes a certain level of confidence in your mind to be able to do that. And I just want to acknowledge and show appreciation for these women. And I will never, ever judge a woman that dances ever again, because I do not have the confidence to dance in front of people. I mean, these women are completely naked. Could you get up completely naked and go? It's the same going maybe in the middle of the street completely naked and dancing. Could you do it? No, probably not. So to me, they are artists. And, you know, all artists, it takes a certain level of commitment to really do something full-fledged, and it takes a high level of confidence in your mind and your body, and you have to really be sure what you're doing. And that's why, to me, they are artists, and that's why they get the artist shine of the week.
The reason where the wisdom comes from my own personal experiences. Today, I was in the chiropractic office, and I had to take a re-examination test to see how much progress I have made, and I had to fill out a piece of paper. And on one of the papers, the question they asked me is, on a 1 to 10 level, what is your daily stress level like? And I honestly had to put 1. Now, if I think about it, maybe I put 2, because sometimes when I'm looking for parking at the university, there is no parking. But I put 1. And it just made me think about how blessed I am that I do not have any type of stress in my life. And I just wanted to share that with you all to encourage you that if you are experiencing any type of stress or you feel as though something is not going your way, just take a step back and relax and take everything one step at a time. I love to make lists. I love to be organized. Sometimes writing things down on the phone, they just do not work for me. So sometimes you need a blank piece of paper with no lines, no limitations to write down everything it is you need to accomplish. And my wheezy word of wisdom is to try to live a life with as minimal stress as possible. I know sometimes it's inevitable with the things that's going on. Sometimes, you know, it's just life. Life will stress you out if you let it. Sometimes you don't have no money. Sometimes you can't, you don't know who to call. Sometimes you are hungry. But you can't let those things stress you out. So on a scale of 1 to 10, try to live a life in the 1 with no stress. Keep positive energy around you. And that also means you have to give out positive energy also. If you are going to want to receive that, you have to give it out as well. So just think twice about how you might be affecting other people so that you can also be affected positively and keep your stress levels down. Thank you.
Yeah, so there you have it. This concludes episode 16 of The Lioness Den. Thank you to everybody who tuned in. Thank you for listening. Hope you learned something new. Hope you felt some type of anything. Happiness, aggression. No, that don't sound right. Oh yeah, girl, that's what I'm talking about. Any of that while you were listening, I just thank you for listening. Make sure you head over to chinwheezy.com to check out Wheezy Tees, or if you would like more information on your host, that's me, see what I'm doing. Also head over to thelionessdenblog.com. Always want to shout out to Bianca. She's a phenomenal, phenomenal blogger on there. Also, an amazing person. She's doing dual enrollment, doing her thing. So y'all make sure to show her some love by reading some of her blogs. Also, shout out to Cardi B again. Like every week, Cardi B is doing something amazing. She will be performing at the match tomorrow between McGregor and Conor. McGregor and Conor. Wow. Between McGregor and Mayweather. So make sure you check her out. Show her some love, love, love. And I think that's it. I think I've said everything I need to say. I hope y'all have a blessed, blessed, blessed week. Happy Virgo season to all my Virgos out there. And yeah, get right with God, eat your vegetables, drink water, and be safe in these streets. All right, Weezy out.